I'm Bob Bolton from the University of Alaska Fairbanks, and this is Alaska Voices, a place for communities to connect through conversation in order to build a better tomorrow for Alaskans and the world.
Originally, I grew up in Gakona, Alaska.
Tyonek.
Egypt.
Idaho.
Grand Park.
St. Lawrence Island.
St. Paul.
And I'm here with my student,
my science buddy.
My teacher.
My homie.
I'm his daughter.
My name is Victor Tunutsuk Jr. I'm 31 years old. And I'm speaking with Ryan.
And my name's Ryan Tui. I am 40 years old, and I'm speaking with Victor, a friend and collaborator. Can you tell people what Kotlik's like and where it's at?
Kotlik is located on the north mouth of the Yukon Delta. It's a Yupik Eskimo community in rural Alaska. We are a community that still practice and rely on a subsistence and fishing lifestyle.
So you guys are like right on the edge of Alaska and staring off into the Bering Sea there. And a lot of the stuff that comes to Kotlik comes in by barge, right?
Yes, yeah. Barge and by plane.
So that's one of the reasons that the fish and the moose are important.
Yes.
Did you have a particular story that you wanted to
tell? Yeah, my late father, Victor Tunutsuk Sr., he talked to me about the changes from when he was a child, from his last days on Earth in Kotlik. We lived there our whole lives, probably 5 to 8 generation. One of the things that he shared with me was sea level rise. He mentioned that Kotlik never really used to experience flooding. We had river ice jams. Storms weren't really an issue back then. I'd say within the last 20 years, maybe about 15 of those years, we've seen a lot of changes in our climate with floods, erosions. The fall storms are a lot intense.
You guys had a pretty substantial flood, was it 3 or 4 years ago?
Yes, it was in November of 2013. I think it was like a 15-mile radius of how far the water and ice came in. So we're about 5 miles up the river from the ocean. Some of our lakes are drying out. Places where swamp, they're drying out. In the past, our freeze-ups would occur in like the middle part of October. But nowadays, we're starting to see our freeze-ups like during November. And we start to see earlier spring thaws. Warmer winters. Our ice is not as thick as it used to be in the past. We're not getting as much snow as we used to.
Why does it matter if you don't have any snow or thick ice?
It takes the ice a little bit longer to get thick enough for us to walk on, to go out and put our nets under the ice. Those were one of the changes my dad talked about too. You know, where we go out and put our nets a little bit later than the past.
And what are you guys catching during the wintertime?
We set our nets out to catch seafish. It's a whitefish. It gets maybe about like 3.5 feet big. In spring and summer, seals come into the river. The way we hunt seals, we still practice an ancient method of hunting. We use a spear. It's made out of driftwood. We carve it into a long, narrow stick-like. At the end of the spear, we put feathers on there to, you know, help make it spin, fly. Some use ivory for their tip points. Nowadays, we start to use brass because they stay sharp. We throw the spear with a spear thrower, which is also made out of driftwood. When it's fall time, we go out into the ocean when it's starting to form ice. But when we go out into the ocean, we use guns and a harpoon. Harpoon, it's like the spear, but it's thicker. We don't use spear throwers for the harpoons. We just hold it in our hand. It can be dangerous for some who haven't really experienced hunting like that. We gain our skills and our knowledge at a young age when our dad or uncles, grandpas bring us out. They talk to us about, you know, the times, when to go out, what to look for, how to Rita Weather.
There's a lot of connection with St. Michael's, right?
Yeah, Stebbins and St. Michael's.
Stebbins and St. Michael's.
Mm-hmm. One of the relationships we have with Stebbins and St. Michael's are annual potlatches that we have every year March.
And can you describe a little bit of like what goes on at a potlatch?
We have potlatches to celebrate, for instance, if a boy caught his first seal, or if a girl picked berries for the first time, their parents or their grandparents, they would introduce them at the potlatch, honoring them. Our first-time dancers, the ones that they present, some of them carry the names of those who have passed on, and they present them. After they introduce them, they pass out gifts to our guests who come from Stebbins, St. Michael, other nearby communities like Imanak, Alaknak, Nunam. And on the second night of the potlatch, they pass out native foods that they gather, like the cephas that they get soon as the ice is thick enough to go on and set the nets under the river.
Mm-hmm.
We collect them and store them in our sheds. That's one of our trades that we do with Stebbins, trading our cephas with their reindeer.
Oh, neat. Wow.
But when we have our potlatches, it's a two-day event. Two days of dancing and singing.
Wow.
Some of our elders are starting to wonder how we're going to get to the potlatch. You know, they think about these changes.
Because the sea ice is gone.
Yeah, the sea ice is gone. When we travel up to St. Michael or Stebbins, we go out onto the Norton Sound on the coastline. And when tides come in, you know, that water pushes up and, you know, it affects our trail on the coastline. And
right.
Where we have to cross the sloughs and creeks, you know, they're filled up with water.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, if the ocean freezes out, we use the ocean trail. The ocean is not freezing as it used to. My dad and our elders, they would say our grass growth depends on how much snow we have. The way I remembered my community in the past when I was young, it was beautiful. It was beautiful before we lost a lot of ground to erosion. So tall the grass used to be, we'd go run around and play in the grass, get lost in the grass. That's one thing I remembered, the grass being so tall, not like how it is today.
Alaska Voices builds bridges by creating a space where community members, friends, policymakers, and scientists can share stories and place-based knowledge. This project was developed in partnership with StoryCorps and was funded by the Alaska Climate Adaptation Science Center. Additional funding was provided by the University of Alaska Fairbanks Chancellor through a generous gift from the Bentley Family Trust. If you are interested in more conversations or information, please visit our website at alaskavoices.org.